Okay. We are holding on Iron Bays on the Bays. About 10 lines, 10, 12 lines from the bottom. The line begins in Ahaga. Near the bottom. The line begins in Ahaga. Okay. Talking about. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah about the various Zinahauda, I said, yeah. So turn it up on.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we've been talking about Mamzerim, we've been talking about Nisinim, we talked about the various other Psula Yichus. So turn it up on. Mamzerim Nisini Tahorim La Asid Lava, Dibir Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that the Mamzerim and the Nisinim will be Tahor La Asid Lava, they will be mutter to freely intermarry with the Jewish people.
Where is the Sinim again?
What? The Sinim are the Givonim. They're the people of they're one of the nations, one of the people in Canaan over there.
Today,
yeah, not nowadays, no. But okay, so there is actually, you know, since you're mentioning that, there is a major machlokas Rishonim. When we're saying Mamzeru and Sinim Tahorim Loss of Love, which ones are we talking about? Are the ones that we know, are we talking about the ones we know are Mamzerim and the ones we know are Nisinim? Or maybe we're only talking about the ones that are Sophic, or the ones that have been mixed in. Well, so the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim learn that it means even the Vaday ones, which therefore the obvious question is, we know the Torah is not going to change. How you talking if the Torah says Mamzerim are not allowed to marry Lo Yovin Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, how is it going to be changed? But how if they're Vaday Mamzerim? So he gives an answer that yes, that there'll be a Haras Shal, there'll be a temporary sacked in by the Yohan Novi or Mashiach or the Sanhedrin or whoever is responsible for these things, that the current Mamzerim and the current Nisinim, even the Vaday ones, are Tahar and Mutar Lava Vikal. Afterwards, it'll start over again. Any Mamzerim that come into existence after that will be awesome.
Huh?
Any Mamzerim that come into existence after
again.
That, they'll start again, yeah. And actually, Hamakya...
Yeah, why would it start over? If it comes the...
But in theory, if there were any further Mamzerim after that, you know, yeah. The Hamakna gives an interesting idea. He says, how is that possible? What would be the basis for such a Hirah? He says, in the case of Mamzerim, we know, there's two major kinds of Mamzerim, right? You have the ones that come from an Ashes Ish, and you have the ones that come from close relatives. Close relatives, okay, those kind of rare in the first place. Ones that come from an Ashes Ish, very simple. We've learned in the Gemara a few times about the concept of Afkinu Rabbanon LeKiddushin, that under certain circumstances, the Chachamim have the ability to say the Kiddushin were never Chal, and they're bottle, all the Be'ilus were Be'ilus Nut. Very well, they'll be able to say that in the case of these Mamzerim.
Certainly.
No, in general. So therefore, it won't cover the Mamzerim, for example, a man has relations with his sister or his mother or what have you, and they have a Mamzer, that won't help. But at least, as far as the case, for example, that a man married a woman who didn't get a proper get, then it'll help for that. The Chachamim of that time will be able to be makia, the original condition. That's how a machma learns it. Same thing with the Nisinim. He says the Nisinim b'chlal, we have the machlokas in a number of places in Shas, between Rashi and Tosfos, whether the Isra on them is Doraisa or Zerabonim.
That's
the Gemara. That's the thing.
Right.
But the question is the original Isra Doraisa, but maybe the original Isra Doraisa only exists as long as the Mishkan is standing, or the Mishkan is standing. Maybe after that, yeah, the Gemara discusses over there the possibility that it's only Zerabonim. Very right. And in fact, the Gemara in Yevamos mentions that in Rebbe's time, they wanted to be Matahir than city, but on that basis. So very well then, Mashiach or Relio or Navi, whatever, we'll be able to do that. That's all according to the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim. There are, on the other hand, there's the Ramban also, on the other hand, there are other Rishonim, the Ram, the Ritva, and others who say, no, this whole thing about Mamzeru and Nisinu, to hurt a loss of love, it's not talking about Vadan ones. We're talking about Sophic ones, or ones that are Nitma, the ones that we talked about a day or two ago, Mishbachash and Nitma are Nitma, that once a family has been mixed up, and we don't know who the Mamzerim are anymore, the Nisinim, then fine, Elio or Mashiach is not going to go expose them and say who they, whether it's a Sophic, or whether they were mixed in 10 generations ago, and we don't even know who they are, and nobody knows who they are anymore, but not to, if somebody, when Mashiach comes, the Vadei Mamzer, they say that, no, we're not talking about they're going to be Torah laws of love.
We still have Vadei Mamzer.
Yeah, they're For example, again, you have cases where a woman has been married, Kedas or Kedin, or with Chuppah B'Kedushin, she didn't get a proper get, and then she went and remarried. So, yeah.
The conservative and reform.
Well, they're no, because they, no, because conservative and reform, corporate and tradition is not.
No, what they did is if they give a gift.
So if you have a couple that is married, if you have a couple that is married, the kedusha kedin, but there's a messiah tradition with a furum rub, and afterwards, yeah, they get a gift from conservative or reform. Yeah, that's one such example. Okay, anyway, Rav Meir says they won't be tarer. The mamzer ben in the sinim. Again, the father of Suffolk, as the case may be. Amalei Rav Yosi v'alek v'anemar v'zorakti aleichem mayim terem etavtem. Doesn't the pasuk say that in Mashiach's time they'll sprinkle pure water on you and you'll become pure? L'chura meaning that you'll become pure also from problems of your sin. Amalei Rav Meir k'shur oimer. But yeah, but the pasuk continues. Mikol tumei seichem mikol gul aleichem. The Eibush is saying, I'll cleanse you from all your tumah and from all your avodah zarah. Yeah, but loy minam mamzer. Doesn't mean from mamzer. Fine, but Kshu Emra, Tahar Eschem. Fine, fair enough. But the pasuk continues, and the pasuk continues, Tahar Eschem, I will purify you. So those extra words, Hevi Emra, Minam Amderis, that comes to teach us something extra. Yes, it means the Edisha will clean us up of all our Averis and all our Verdazara and everything else and all our Trum. But on top of that, Tahar Eschem will also retire you from Amderis. Says, okay, so I can understand according to the mayor that even while Asid Lover, the Mamzerim, and the Sinim will not be Tahar, this is why we have a pasuk in Zechariah that says, the Yoshav Mamzer Ba'ashtoid. It says the Mamzer will live in Ashtoid. So according to the mayor, meaning even in Mashiach's times, there will still be Mamzerim. So therefore, they'll set aside Ashtoid, which is one of the cities of the Plishtim, and they'll live there. And nowadays it's part of Israel, but in those times it was a city of the Plishtim. Why if it's Ashdod? Meforshim talk about a couple of interesting possibilities. One of the Malbim on the Pasuk says an interesting thing. He says that the Plishtim themselves come from Mamzerus in the first place. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, Rashi mentions based on the Medrash and on the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, when it lists over there all the 70 nations, it says over there the Pasurusim and the Kasluchim, from whom came Asher Yotzim Misham Plishtim. So what do you mean that the Plishtim came from there, from two different nations, the Basurusim and the Kasluchim? The Rashi says, brings from a Medrash. They used to switch wives with each other. They used to exchange their wives.
They're not obligated like that.
Bnei Noach also have a certain Arayas, and one of them is Eshet Ish. So these two nations, the Basurusim and the Kasluchim, would exchange wives, and the children that were born.
There's no Kedushin about that.
Doesn't matter whether it's Kedushin. There's still such a concept of an Eshet Ish. When we learn Sanhedrin in a year and a half, 2 years, as the Shem, we'll talk about it at great length. But yeah. Anyway, there is such a thing as Eshetish by them, and therefore, when they're mizana with each other's wives and the Plishtim are born from them, well, very well, then the Plishtim are Mamzerim. Therefore, the Jewish Mamzerim will wind up over there also.
Aren't they originally from Crete?
Maybe, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, the Pasuk describes that they come from the Pasurusim and the Kasluchim. Okay. Yeah, in Sanhedrin, we'll discuss this whole concept of Eshetish, of Yishus Lagoy.
They recognize that word.
Okay. So according to the mayor, fine, we understand. That's why the pasuk says, "V'yashav Mamzer Ashdod." Even in Mashiach's time, there will be Mamzerim, and they'll set aside the city of Ashdod as a special place for them to live. El Rav Yosi, my V'yashav Mamzer Ashdod. According to Rav Yosi, what kind of Mamzerim? There's no Mamzerim at that time. The answer is, "Kedem Tagrin Rav Yosef." No, then you have to, according to Rav Yosi, you have to understand the pasuk like the way Rav Yosef translated it. They say it's not Rav Yosef's translation, actually, it's Tagrin Yonasan, but throughout Shas, the Gemara often attributes it to Rav Yosef because he was an expert in the Tagrin. In various places we talk about, because he was blind, he couldn't learn Torah Shemachsav, because he's not supposed to learn Torah Shemachsav Balpeh, so therefore he specialized in the Tablet. Anyway, the translation goes, Yesbun Beis Yisrael L'Roichson, the Jewish people will dwell securely, Ba'ar Aharon, in their land, the Habudomavol L'Nuchroin, where up until now they were treated like foreigners. So in other words, Mamzer does not mean literally a Mamzer, it means the Jewish people who up until now were considered second or third class citizens like Mamzer. They'll now live securely the Ashdod as well as every place else in Eretz Yisrael. So Ashdod is just given as an example. And Marsha points out the reason why in that case the Pasuk is specifically singling out Ashdod is because as one of the cities of Plishtim, since we know Abraham and later on Yitzhak made a treaty with the Plishtim that they're not going to take over their land, so any Jews who wound up in those places have felt like foreigners over there even more than any place in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Pasuk is saying in Mashiach's time there won't be any of that. They'll feel just as much in place in Ashdod or any of the other Plishti cities as they do anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. L'rechtan means security. We say in Berich Shmei, loyal anesh to mishna, loyal anesh to mishna, loyal bar lekin rachitna. Rachitna means that I put my security, I put my trust, I put my betochen. So l'rechtan means in betochen, security. Okay, I'm going to be hold on a Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Yosi. The halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yosi. That's what I'm saying. We'll be tahor lost in love. And Amar Rabbi Yosef, you loved Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yosi. You should know if it's a good thing Rabbi Yehuda said that in the name of Shmuel, that Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. Because if it weren't for that, have a Asi Eliyahu, then when Eliyahu Anavi comes before Mashiach, Matik Minon Tzavarni Kerlohin, he'll take out necks, meaning many groups of people, like in chains, like, and separate them from the Jewish people, because they'll be Mamzerim. But like this, since the Mamzerim are Tzavar lost. He's saying that it's a good thing that Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, because otherwise, because otherwise, when Eliyahu comes, he's going to be taking batches of Jews, Tzavarni, literally means,
like people don't know that they're Mamzerim.
Yes, like the groups and groups, and all of a sudden they're going to discover that they're Mamzerim. Okay, turn it up on him. Now on to some Halacha. Ger knows the Mamzerim, Stibri Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says that a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzerim. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Ger, law used to Mamzerim. Rabbi Yehuda says no. And these rules apply. Echad ger, also another rule. Echad ger, echad eved meshuchar of a cholol. All of these three, a ger, a freed slave, or a cholol, all of them were torim b'kehenes. They're all allowed to marry a bat koyin. Now, a koyin is not allowed to marry a cholol, but we're saying that the reverse is not true. A male cholol is allowed to marry a bat koyin. So, my time with the Rabbi Yosi. What's Rabbi Yosi's reason that he says a ger is allowed to marry a mamzera? And by the way, when Rabbi Yosi is saying that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeret, as we learned in the previous parak, the child will be a mamzeret, because mamzeret go, because you go according to the pogrom, you go according to the one with the lesser status.
Well, wait a minute, you say a chol can marry a bat koyin.
A bat koyin, yeah.
But if they have a son,
that son cannot marry. That is
no.
True.
Wait a minute.
Well, if they have a son, no, he won't be a mamzeret. He'll be a chol.
Or if they have a daughter, a koyin cannot marry her.
That's true.
Which is a bas koyin.
Indeed. We'll talk about that later in the past. We're not talking about a mamzer is not allowed to marry a bas koyin. We're saying a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeret. A ger, we're saying, is also allowed to marry a bas koyin.
A ger can marry a mamzeret.
That's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no.
Does that work like just the ger is...
No, we'll do that. We'll see why. Listen. My time of the Rabbi Yosi, what is Rabbi Yosi's reason that he says a ger can marry a mamzeret? He says, Chamisha kol iksiv. Five times. Now, you have most of these psula yichus are talked about in Parashat Kisese. The pasuk starts off over there, lo yavoi, psula jako, kurus shav, chav, kal Hashem. After that, it talks about a number of psula yichus, lo yavoi, mamzeret, kal Hashem, lo yavoi, amoni, umayovi, kal Hashem, adomi, and mitzri. Five times in those psukim, it says the word kol. Now, it's actually six times. Rashi says that we're leaving out the one about Psua Daka because we're talking about Psua Yuchs, and Psua Daka is not an issue.
A guy has an accident, and he's...
We learned about it in Yevamos at great length. Basically, the din is, it depends whether it was B'day Shemayim or B'day Adam. If he was born that way, then he's fine. He can marry whoever he wants. But if something happened after he was
married,
born...
No point in marrying anyway.
That may be, but nevertheless, he's not allowed to marry a regular Bat Yisrael. He's allowed to marry a Giyoris. He's allowed to marry a Meshuchereres. I believe, I think he's allowed to marry a Mamzeret also, although I don't remember that for sure.
What do you mean if it happened by accident? How can it happen on purpose?
What do you mean? I mean, the Goyim used to castrate people. I mean, maybe nowadays they still do. I don't know.
They forced them.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. The truth is, you know what? It gets into a big question nowadays when people have vasectomies. Vasectomies for that matter, that's for sure. But even, for example, prostate surgery that you can find in the back of the safe rabbi Hogan. Yeah, the letters from the Rebbe about prostate surgery. You have to be very careful to avoid causing problems to a doctor. Yeah. Okay, anyway, this isn't the place to get into it, but anyway. Really, Rashi says, Tosfos also says, there are six times it says kahal in those psukim. But one of them is about psur daka. Psur daka, first of all, is not a psul yichus. Psul is not a matter of yuchsin. It's a matter of that he personally has an injury. Second of all, anyway, Tosfos points out, look, I mean, you can't, by definition, you can't have a kahal of psur daka because they can't father children. Other Mephoshim point out other things, including also psur daka is somebody who's had an injury to his genitals, which prevents him from having children. Yeah, and it's not only that. It can be learned to be based in, be git, whatever, yeah. Also, other Mephoshim point out other things, including one of them. Psua daka doesn't. Kohol has to be something that can apply to both men and women. Psua daka is not relevant to women. The genome of Psua daka don't apply to them. Anyway,
women could be buried.
That's fine, but the genome of Psua daka does not apply to them. If a woman has been injured, if a woman has had a hysterectomy or ovaries or what have you, removed, it doesn't matter. She's allowed to marry whoever she wants. Yeah. So anyway, so therefore, Rashi and Tosfos both say you subtract the kohol that's talking about Suadaka, and you're left with five other ones. The Ravid learns differently, actually. The Ravid learns
you
take out.
Because
the Torah says
not.
It doesn't matter. The Torah says not. You have a Suadaka,
so even a woman is barren is not a woman.
Yeah. Come on. We learned about this a lot in your vomit. This isn't the place for it.
Well, I didn't hear you.
Fine. Okay, I'm telling you.
It's okay. Very complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The David learns differently. The David says that the one call you take out is the one about Mitzri the Adjoining. Because there the Torah is not saying that he shouldn't marry into the call. Abadab, the Torah is phrasing it as an effort. The third generation can marry into the call. Anyway, the point is, however you look at it, whether according to Rashi or Tosfos or according to the Ravid, you wind up with five kohos left. Therefore, chav l'koinim, one teaches us that a mamzer or not, or that a mamzer or a domi or what have you is not allowed to marry a kohen. V'chav levim, another one teaches us they're not allowed to intermarry with levim. V'chav yisraelim, number three teaches us they can't marry yisraelim. V'chav l'mishri mamzer b'shtuki. Number four comes to teach us that a mamzer is allowed to marry a shtuki, which we talked about in the Mishnah briefly what a shtuki is, and we'll talk about more later on in the summer, that a shtuki is a child who knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is. So anytime he tells his mother, hey, isn't that my
mamzer too?
He might be, and that's the problem. He's a suffolk mamzer. However, one of these kohos is teaching us the concept that a shtuki, even though he's only a suffolk, even though he's a suffolk, is allowed to marry a mamzer. And number five is to teach us that a shtuki is allowed to marry other Jews.
He can marry both.
That a shtuki can marry mamzer or bat yisrael. Yeah. So those are the five calls. The point is, therefore, so you don't have anything saying that a mamzer can't marry a ger. You have only the five calls that we mentioned. Very well, that a mamzer can marry a ger. Or mamzeret can marry a mamzeret, can marry a ger, or gear
can marry a bat yisrael.
No, a mamzer can't marry a bat yisrael. We said a shtuki can marry a bat
yisrael.
A shtuki. We'll talk about shtuki later on in the yom.
With suffolk mamzer.
Fine. We'll get to that later. The suffolk mamzer midaraita is not considered a mamzer. We'll get to that. Wait. What? I'm not understanding.
Yeah.
Oh, why we need those three? Okay. Yeah, what? No. So that's because the vort is, Rashi says, if it only said one kohol, you would think, okay, mamzerim and the rest of them are not allowed to marry koyanim. Maybe they're allowed to marry levim. So you have to have another one. In other words, ilu loy nemo, you wouldn't know which one refers to which one.
So they have Yisrael.
No, but the Torah doesn't explicitly say Yisrael, which is a kohol, which is a kal Hashem. Without having three of them, you wouldn't know that kal Hashem means all three groups. Okay. Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah, but that we wouldn't know that. Okay. Rav Yehuda, what would Rav Yehuda answer to that? He would say, Koinim Levim, Machad Kohol Nafki. You don't need two separate Kohols, one to teach them a Koinim, one to teach them Levim. They're for it all members of one Shevet. So therefore, they're all one Kohol. Yasa Leila Kal Gerim. Therefore, you have one Kohol extra to teach us. And Imam there, when he says that he's not allowed to come into Kal Hashem, it includes Gerim. Okay, the Iboy Seima, or another possibility, Hani Hachinami Tre Koholi Ninu. It's true that let's say Koinim and Levim, let's say Hani Nami, Tre Koholi Ninu. It's true, let's say Koinim and Levim will be considered two Koholim. However, Mamzer B'Shtuki, Shtuki B'Yisrael, Mechad Kohol Nafka. However, we can argue that the Heter, that a Shtuki can marry either a Mamzer or a Bat Yisrael, that we can learn from one Kohol. Because, as the Gemara is going to say later, the Torah only asks a Badai Mamzer from marrying into the Kohol, not a Suffolk Mamzer, which is what a Shtuki is. Therefore, you can have one Kohol to cover both of those cases. And therefore, again, you have one Kohol left for Gerim. The Iboi Seima, or yet another possibility, Hani Tsunami Tire Kohol Inu, you could argue that those two cases also, you need a separate Kohol for each of them. The case of Shtuki with a Mamzer and the case of Shtuki with a Bat Yisrael. Where are you going to get the Gerim from? The time of Rabbi Yehuda Mehocha. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda learned it from a whole different place. The pasuk says, "Hakol chuka achas lachem b'lager agur." The Torah says, "The congregation, there's one law for you and for the ger." Now, what's the point of saying hakol? It should just say chuka achas lachem b'lager. It must teach you that the word hakol refers to the gerim. The gerim are also called kohol. Well, if they're also called kohol, lo yavei mamzer b'kal Hashem, then there you go. They can't marry in with gerim. Where's Rabbi Yossi? Would answer to that. He would say, yeah, but if you look at the phrasing of the pasuk, hakohol, chukahachas lochem v'lager. The word hakohol is separated from the word ger, by the word chukahachas. So forget, the pasuk is not telling us that gerim are considered a kohol. They're not. Well, if they're not a kohol, then mamzerim can marry them. Okay. Then we said, okay, so that takes care of that. So we've established then that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda have their machloikas, and we've established what the basis for their machloikas is. Okay. Now, we said before also in the Braise, so Echad Ger ve'Echad Eved Meshuchar v'Cholol Mutarin v'Kehenes, we said another din, that a Ger or an Eved Meshuchar or a Cholol, any of them are allowed to marry a Baskoyin, Messiah le'Lerab, in which case that Braise supports with what Rav says, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, Lo'huzru k'sheres le'inosil psulim. Women who are kosher, namely the daughters of Kohenim, do not have an iser to marry psulim. Psulim in the sense here means psulim kahuna. Meaning we have to distinguish between, we've been talking about psulim kahal, like mamzerim and mesinim and the rest of that group. But then you have psulim kahuna. Psulim kahuna, for example, halal. Now, we know a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Cholol, the Torah tells us so. Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, is telling us the reverse is not true. A Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Cholol. Well, or for that matter, a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Ger. Even though, the reverse is not true. A Kohen can't marry a Ger. Well, this Braisa that says that a Cholol can marry a Bas Kohen can marry any of them, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, is telling us. Yeah.
Or
Evan Meshuchar, the same thing as a Ger. So Gemara tells a story in this connection about the heterim, who a mamzer is and isn't allowed to marry. Dorosh Rav Zera b'mechuzah ger mutzah b'mamzeres. One time Rav Zera gave a drosha in mechuzah that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, and they were very upset about it. Many of the people, or most of the people in mechuzah, were gerim. So they were very upset. How are you talking? You were saying we can marry mamzerim as if to say, like, we're second-class Jews.
Yeah,
well, that too. Ragmu, kulam, of Esther Gaya, they all started pelting him with the rest of Reagan. Obviously, this happened during Sukkot. Amar Rava, so Rava says, "Miika the Jorish Milsa ki hai b'duch the Shchichi Yeri." How you talking? Somebody should give such a drasha in a place where there are so many Gerim. You got to know your audience. Well, why? Why everybody pelted him with a throgium with a vast number of explanations and kapulim that they have? I'll tell you a couple of short ones. Reb Levick has the Rebbe's father has a whole Kabbalistic explanation and the whole story over here. He explains basically that Reb Zera is from the Shodosh of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov has really nothing to do with Gerim because we toss the Shlema. It's all the ones descended from him are all 12 Shvatim. Whereas the Rava is more more Beruchnius related to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is the father of all the Gerim. Asrogim also have a certain shayachus to Gerim, so therefore Rava is critical of Rav Zera. He's talking you, the nishus of Yaakov. The shayachus of one thing he says, an interesting thing. We say every day in davening, Hashem Shomer Es Gerim. The letters Es Gerim are the same letters as Asrogim. Yeah, but there's other associations he says also. But
wasn't there a mashu with a king?
Yeah, Yana Amalek, he poured. Anyway, there's a lot of other explanations why Ephesrogim. One other interesting one that's among many that I've seen. One interesting one from Rabbi Aaron Levin, Nat Lewin's grandfather of the Hayad. He says a verse that's similar. He says that the Esrog has relationship to Avraham Avinu. Again, he brings this from a Medrash or something that has a certain relationship to Avraham Avinu specifically. Like each of the Dalet Minim represents one of the others, and the Esrog represents Avraham Avinu. So they're all pelting him, not literally pelting him with Esrog. And he says, it's just like they're proving to him, you're wrong in saying that Gerim, a second-class citizen. Look at the fact. We take an Esrog. Which represents Avraham, the father of all the Gerim. Okay, anyway. So, another time, Dorash Rava b'mechuzah. Another time, Rava, who was the Rav and the Rosh Shiva in Mechuzah, gave a Dorasha. He said, Ger mutar b'kehenes. A Ger is allowed to marry a Bas Kohen, as we just said. Well, they were all so pleased by that. Tanu b'shiroi. They all covered him with silk clothes. Like they all started throwing their silk coats at him.
He
and
knew his audience.
Yes, Ray. Harder Dorash Lahu. Then he darshan to them, Ger mutar b'mamzeres. That a Ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Again, both of these things are true up to Allah.
This is Rava.
Wait, Omrulay, so now they said to Rava, Sintala Kamaisa, you spoiled what you said. Here you were telling us we're such miyuchosim, we can marry nice Kayanim, and now all of a sudden you're telling us we can marry Mamzerus. Omrulahu, so he was very diplomatic about it. He tells them, the Tavalahu Abdulahu, Abdulahu, by this I'm doing the best thing for you. Like this, you have your choices. You have your choices. You can marry Mamzerus if you want, you can marry nice Kayanim if you want. He knew how to diplomatically get across to it. Yeah. Well, he was a Rav. He was a Hashiva there. He knew his audience.
Is that the
halacha? That's the halacha, yeah. The Hilchasa, and that's in fact
that is the halacha.
Yeah. Ger multiple kehenes and multiple mamzeres. Yes, and Ger is allowed both. Mutter, because again, like who's the Psheira, so they're not the Psulim. Because again, a Bas Kohen has no Isser of marrying any of the Psulim Kohona. She can't marry Psulim Kohol, of course. No born Yid can, but she can marry Psulim Kohona, like Halalim or Gerim or what have you. So that's why it's Mutter Kohenis. Mutter B'Mamzeres, Kirab Yasi. And like Rabbi Yasi says, the Ger is Mutter B'Mamzeres because the Kohol of Gerim, because Gerim are not called part of Kal Hashem.
It's just
Well, that's because we hold.
Aren't they accepted to Kal Hashem?
But the definition of Kal Hashem does not include Gerim. The definition of Kal Hashem is Kohenim, Levim, and Israelim.
We know all that. And the kid is a Mamzer?
The kid would be Mamzer, yeah. Because again, you go according to the party. If a Ger marries a Mamzeres, or if a Yurif marries a Mamzer, same thing. Yeah. Either way, we said in the previous paragraph that we're Kolmokum Shiyesh Kiddushin, but in Avera, we said that whether there's Kiddushin, there's no Avera, we said usually have Lava or Lachacha Zachar. But we said there are certain exceptions to that rule, and this is one of them. Even though it's Yesh Kiddushin and there's no Avera, because we said a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres and a Diyurus is allowed to marry a Mamzer, nevertheless, you go according to the Pogrom. And the Pogrom in this case is a Mamzer. The Mishnah said, Elohein Shtzuki Kol Shemakir. The definition of a Shtzuki is that he knows his mother, but he doesn't know who his father. And we said we call him a Shtzuki because whenever he tries to identify, whenever he says to his mother, isn't that my father? She says, shh, be quiet. So Shtzuki, like she quiet. Now, Omer Rava, our Torah Shtzuki Kosher. Actually, Midaraisa, a Shtzuki is kosher in the sense that he can marry a regular Bas Yisrael. My timer, Roiv Ksherim. Well, because when you think about it, most of the possible people who she could have had relations with are kosher to her. Because what do you have? I mean, so
she knows who she had relations with.
Maybe not, but that's not the point.
Maybe not. She doesn't know.
No, but the point is. Hold on. It doesn't, for our purposes, it may not matter. I mean, whether if she says Lakosha Nivalti, that we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about when Abashol, Shtuki Baduki, we'll talk about that. Whether if she said that I had relations with Lakosha, do we believe her? Well, we'll get to that. Right now, we're not at that yet. The point is, most of the people in the world that she could potentially have relations with, the child, the product of that would be Kosha. Why? Because Who would make it a mamzer? Again, the halacha is a mamzer only comes from chayav krisus and mrs. Faithful. She's a pnuya, so there's no issue of her being an eishes ish. So the only possibilities are her relative. Well, they're a miut in the world. Most, if she had relations with a goy, the child will be a yid. Because you said goy
b'evad abba abba yidol. Generally, this is frowned upon even by
Zolzainazoy, but the point is, regardless, the point remains, the fact of the matter is most...
The incest is rare.
That's not the point. The point is most of the people, if you figure all the billions of men in the world who could potentially have had relations with her, out of that, the vast majority are ones where the child would be kosher. It's only a mute. It's only her close relatives, only her 20 close relatives or whatever from whom it could be a mamzer. It's only a mute that could be psulim, namely mamzer. Also, you have to consider mamzerim themselves, because again, the child of a mamzer is a mamzer. Fine, but if you consider all of her krovim, plus all the mamzerim in the world, they're still a mute. So that's number one. Furthermore, the e azli inhu lagaba, and furthermore, we have to consider if one of them came to her, then we can say the parish mirov a parish. Then we can say when a person leaves the group. We can assume that he came from the majority. Again, the majority of men in the world are not ones who would create a mamzer with her. Therefore, we can assume that whoever came to her to have relations with her is from the roiv who are not going to create a mamzer.
Why would a mamzer care?
We're not saying whether he'd care or not. That's not the point. The point is that we're saying since the majority in the world are not going to make a mamzer, most of them are not. Most of them are regular Jews or goyim or avodim or what have you. None of which the child from none of those would be a mamzer. Therefore, called a parish made over parish. If any one person separates himself from all of the people in the world and goes to her house and has relations with her, then we can assume he came from the roiv. My Amrit, Dilma Azla'ilo Gabayu. You're going to argue that maybe the other way around. What if she went to one of them? And in that case, Havalei Kavua. Then in that case, you're going to have a situation which is Kavua. And the Din is Vachol Kavua Kmechsal Mechsadami. Fine. In that case, you would say it's a 50. Kavua, because in other words, if he's living in his place, and she comes to him, then the Din is, we don't look at the statistics of how many mamzerim and kroim and whatever they're on the world. We have to assume that this comes up in many places in chats. We learned about it in Ksubas at great length. Tisha Chanuyas is an example of that, yeah. That we have to consider there's a 50-50 chance that he was a kosher or a apostle. I, mathematically, there are 3 billion men in the world, and only 50 of them, or 100, or whatever it is, could possibly create a mamzer. Doesn't matter. If one of those 50 or one of those 100 is living in a home, and you have met all the other ones also living at home, and she comes to him, there's a 50-50 chance that she went to one of the psalmen.
You could say it's still a mute.
Doesn't, no, it's not a mute. It's 50-50.
No.
However,
goes,
no, that doesn't matter.
If they're all living in a separate home.
Doesn't matter. It's still considered kavua. Each of them is in their place. The thing is, that doesn't matter because nevertheless, the Torah says, lo yove mamzer, the Torah says that a mamzer is not allowed to intermarry, implying mamzer vadai hu lo yove, ho mamzer safik yove, nekohol. Somebody who's a safik, even if it was a 50-50 chance whether he's a mamzer, nevertheless, he's still minat Torah allowed to marry into the kohol, because not vadai that he's a mamzer. And furthermore, because vaday who deloy yavar, have a call.
So she goes to him.
It does
shtuki.
No, that's what we're saying. The child will be a shtuki. What we're saying is, because it's only a suffix, minatoda, it'll be fine. Incidentally, there gets a fascinating discussion about this. We know throughout the Torah, usually we say something when you have a suffix and something deraisa, you go lachumra. When you have a suffix and something derabbanan, you go lakula. How does this Gemara bear on that? Now, the Rambam, for example, holds that even though we say speka deraisa b'chumra, that din itself is only dirabana. Mi deraisa, a suffix deraisa, you would go the kula. It's only dirabana. We're masters. Well, the Rambam can use this Gemara as a proof for it. Since the Torah says it by mamzer, then we can generalize from that to other places of suffix in the Torah. On the other hand, many other Rishonim argue with the Rambam. They say, fakir, in this Gemara you can prove the other way around. The fact that the Torah had to specifically say an exception by mamzer shows that in general speka deraisa b'chumra. So they go back and forth about the possibilities, including maybe the Rambam might argue there's a special reason the Torah had to say it in this case. One interesting thing that the Maharit brings, the Maharit says an interesting thing like this. Let's say, for example, this shtukim. So fine, we're saying it's a suffix whether he's a kosher, a yid, or a mamzer. Now, what are we saying over here? We're saying that he's allowed to marry a bat yisrael, he's allowed to marry a mamzer. What happens if he marries both? What happens if he marries 2 wives? One's a bat yisrael, one's a mamzer. On the face of it, one of them has to be also to him, right? By elimination, either he's a kosher yid and he's also in a mamzeres, or he's a mamzer and he's also in a bat yisrael. One, nevertheless, we're saying that no, we consider he's vadai a suffix, and therefore he's allowed to marry either one. So that might be, well, according to the Rambam, why the suffix might have to mention it specifically in this case. Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Okay.
Guaranteed
stuff. Yeah, basically.
I got a good story.
Okay. Another time. Okay. So, and furthermore. Okay. And furthermore, because vaday hu de l'yavay, have a kal sofik yavay. Furthermore, we're saying a mamzer is not allowed to marry into the kahal. That means the kahal are people who are vaday kosher Jews, not the ones who are taken. Therefore, this shtuki, again, is allowed to marry a bat yisrael because the Torah only says a mamzer vadai is also to marry a bat yisrael. He's not mamzer vadai. And conversely, a mamzer is allowed to marry a shtuki because the shtuki is not for sure part of the call. He's only suffered call. But that's all midaraisa, Rabbi says. Uma tam omer shtuki possible. So why did the Chachamim say that a shtuki is possible to marry a regular yid? You make a gzera because he may end up marrying his sister from his father's side. What happens? He doesn't know who his father is, after all. If he married a regular Bat Yisrael, what if his father went and married, let's not even say Mizana, he went and married some other woman. They had a daughter. They have the same father. Yeah.
Without being married.
Yeah. Okay, so you might ask by that logic, Elam Asa Shtuki Slo Yisa. Fine, by that logic, a Shtuki shouldn't be able to marry a Shtuki either. Shema Yisa Chosim Elvim, because the same thing. After all, you never know who his father was Mizana with. There may be, just like he's a Shtuki.
Yeah, but mathematical chance.
That's the answer. Koki Hai Mizana, Koki Hanu Mizani Bahazli. What are we going to attribute all the Shtuki in town to this one guy? How much could he have gotten around already? Chances are.
Well, there was this town and one doctor, the whole.
Come on. Next, let's ask. Fine, still by that logic, let's argue that a shtuki should not be allowed to marry the daughter of a shtukis. So the mother, let's say, the Sukkis, let's say, married a regular Ben Yisrael. They had a daughter. You shouldn't be allowed to marry her. Again, Shemi Yisach Chosimil. Again, you might have the same problem. She might end up being his sister from his father. The answer is Ella Lo Shchicha. No, we have to say though that it's not common. Meaning, Rashi says two possibilities. Number one, it's not common b'chlal that a person should end up davka meeting his sister of all people. Because out of the total number of people in the world, there's only a couple that are going to be his sisters, so it's a very low chance of it. Or Rashi says another explanation, which he prefers, is b'chlal. The shtuki itself is a very unusual situation. Therefore, the Chachamim didn't want to go so far to be goes around to say that he can't even marry a shtukis or a bat shtukis or whatever. Well, then, by the same logic, shouldn't you argue it's not shliach in the first place? Therefore, Shtuki should be able to marry whoever he wants, even a regular, full-fledged Bas Yisrael. The answer is no. Ela Maila also be Yuchsin. No, we have to answer. The Chachamim did want to make a certain Maila when it comes to Yuchsin. True, Midaraita, we're going to say the Shtuki is a Sopik, Mamzer, therefore he's only a Sopik, he should be able to marry whoever he wants. However, the Chachamim wanted to make higher levels in Yuchsin that at least, fine, you're going to allow a shtuki to marry a shtuki to a bas shtuki. Okay, there's already a pgam in the yichus anyway. But to marry a regular bas Yisrael, that not. That the Chacham didn't want to allow. Okay. Amar Rava. Then Rava says another din. Now we look similar, not identical, but yeah. Okay. Now, the tenth group that we learned in the Mishnah is Asufi. We said an Asufi is a child that was found on the street, and you don't know who his parents are. Now, the truth is, if his parents were goyim, or at least if his mother was a goyta, then it's not really so bad. Okay, so you megayer him, like you'd be megayer an adopted child. Again, the barabach mitzvah, he has a choice to accept it or reject it. That's the thing. If the mother was a goyta, then you don't have a problem. The problem becomes if the mother was Jewish. Right. The problem really becomes what if the mother was Jewish? Then you know again. You don't know who the mother is. You don't know who the father is. He might be a mamzer. He might be a kosher. Yeah.
One don't want to adopt children.
No, adopting children. There's other issues involved. One big one that Rebbe talks about in a couple of his letters is the whole matter of yichud, which we'll learn at the end of the parak. We'll learn at the end of the sefer. Not necessarily. No, because again, in most places nowadays, when you adopt a child, most of the time it is a goyish child anyway. It happens occasionally, but if you ever read the book of Bamboo Cradle, it's a fascinating book, by the way, well worth reading. Yeah, so early on, no.
What happened to the bamboo?
And a Jewish couple living in China found a baby and adopted her.
Jewish?
No, of course not. But to make a long story short, they wanted to be Magaya her, and through that they came back to Yiddishkeit.
It was the fact
that they wanted to be Magaya her, and eventually they realized that the only proper gayer is an Orthodox one, and everything developed from there. Yeah, it's a fascinating story, anyway. Early on in the book, at one point in the book, they mentioned they're talking with the Rav, and is there a possibility maybe that this child is Jewish after all? The Rav says, look, in China, I mean, what, you have a billion Chinese, you have maybe two Jews over there, come on, statistically, it's not, she's not, and he says, either you're better off, she's for sure a goyta, because then, you can be Magaya her, and you don't have an issue. If her mother could potentially be Jewish, she'd have all kinds of issues and stuff with my baby. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Rav says, Dvar Torah, Asufi kosher. Mina Torah, again, an Asufi is kosher to marry into the Jewish people. My timer, why? Because, okay, an Asufi, we can't assume, again, we don't know who the mother is, so the mother might have been an Ashish, in which case you can't use the thing of Roy before, because an Ashish, most of the world, of course, are apostles her. However, Ashish, Bavila Torah, if an Ashish has a child, if an Ashish had an affair and they had a child from it, she will claim that it came from her husband. She won't go throw the baby out into the street because what am I going to do? My husband's going to know about my affair. She'll claim to her husband that you fathered.
So it'll be an unmarried girl who now is a
my ikka. So what are you going to argue? Miut arusa. It's fine. So you're going to argue there is a miut of women who are already arusa, so they're not fully married to their husband yet, but they're already an ashish. So again, most of the world is also to them. Let's say she's mizane with somebody, then she can't be toilet the baila. Her arusa is going to know it wasn't from him. He's going to know that she was that she had an affair. See, even all because they weren't having relations. They're only in Aderson. They haven't had relations. So fine, you could argue there's a miut of arusas. And you could also argue that there's a miut of women whose husbands went on an overseas long trip, and therefore, again, she can't be tola, she can't claim my husband fathered this child because the husband has been away for a long time. However, against that, given to Issa Pnuya. On the other hand, you can argue against that. You have women who are Pnuyas, where, again, most of the world are kosher relative to them. But yet they will decide that, you know, they had a baby, they can't afford to raise it or whatever, or they don't want people to know that they have an affair or whatever, and therefore they're going to put the baby out in the street. The ikanami de machmas rabbi, and furthermore you have married couples even that will put out their children out of desperation. It's years of hunger, it's years of famine, and they can't take care of the child, so they put it out hoping that somebody will take it. Therefore, have a pogro. When you get down to it, therefore, it's a half and half. It's a 50-50 chance that this child is a mamzer or a kosher. Again, again, mamzer sofik should be also medaraisa, should be motor medaraisa. And the kohol vadeh hu d'loyavay have a kal sofik yavay. Again, a mamzer is only also to marry into the kohol vadeh, not the sfeikah. So therefore, an asufi, again, minatorda, should be allowed to marry a yitro, or should be allowed to marry a mamzer. We're not even getting into Gairus. We're talking even if we're talking in a city that's all Jew. So the mother almost certainly is Jewish. Nevertheless, I mean, I told her, you know, again, Uma Tamra Omra Asufi possible. So why do the Chachamim say that an Asufi is possible to marry into the general? Yes, yeah, only Midrabanan. But why do the Chachamim make that Takana? Shema Yitzah Chayus Melvav. Again, for the same reason as before, he may end up marrying his sister from his father's side. Again, his father may have had other children, other he may have had daughters, and he'll end up marrying them.
So what do you do? But you don't.
That's the point. Therefore, the Chachamim made the Takana that an Asufi can't marry a regular Bas Yisrael.
What about a Sukkin and Even though Midaraisa would be right.
Right. And Rashi points out.
Who can a Sufi marry?
Well, you can marry another Asufi. You can marry another Asufi, or a Bas Asufi, or you can marry a Mamzer. Anyway, Rashi.
That doesn't help him.
No, okay. Mamzer can help him, but an Asufi. So, okay. Rashi points out an interesting thing. Why are we only mentioning Achos and Ovid? Maybe in the previous case we had to mention Ovid because we know who his mother is. In this case, we don't know who his mother is or who his father is. Rashi points out, why don't we talk about the possibility that he may end up marrying his sister from his mother's side? Maybe his mother, remember, we don't know who his mother is. Maybe his mother had other children. Rashi says an interesting thing. We know that his mother-in-law, in other words, if he wants to marry a girl, we know that girl's mother has a cheskas kashrus. Therefore, we don't assume that she was mezaneh, that maybe this is her son. There's no reason to assume that
his father, we do.
But the father we don't have around. But if he wants to marry a girl, we can assume that his mother-in-law was not mizana and then had to throw away her child. There's no reason to assume that she has a cheskas kashrus. True, but one thing is, fathers are not going to throw out their children because a father is not going to be possible by having a child out of wedlock or from zinus anyway. A mother has a chance of being possible. Understood, but the father is not going to become possible lover, but the father is not going to be possible who he's allowed to marry because of that. A woman has a child, she'll be possible with kahuna, for example, a man won't. So therefore, we don't assume that a man is going to throw the child out into the street, as in, you know, I have to get rid of him because otherwise it's going to ruin my prospects for marriage. So, by that logic, you should argue Asufi, Asufi, Tlo Yisa. Why don't you argue that an Asufi should not be allowed to marry an Asufi either? Shema Yisa Achose Ben Me'ovah Ben Me'imah, because again, he may end up marrying his sister from either side. Again, the Gemara answer is similar to before. Kol Hani Shodi Ba'azli. What are we assuming, that every child that the mother had, she threw out into the street? Again, you can't assume that all the Asufi in town all come from the same mother or the same father.
Kol
Hani, all of these, Shodi Ba'azli, that she throw out, no, that's fine. A woman may have one child by Znus and then throw them out into the street. They're not going to have one after the other. And you could argue Bas Asufi La Yisa, fine. You should still argue an Asufi should not be allowed to marry the daughter of an Asufi. Again, you have an Asufi who went and married somebody and they had a daughter. He shouldn't be allowed to marry her, Shami Yisa Chosi, because he may end up marrying his sister. Ella, you can answer Lo Shchiach. You can answer, again, it's not common. Either, like we said before, it's very uncommon. It's very, very rare possibility that the one you dafka start making a shidduch with turns out to be your sister. Or, again, Rashi's preferred explanation that the whole concept of Asufi is very rare. That's what we're saying. Why don't the Chachamim make a takana against it? Hafinami Lo Shchiach. No, not a Gzeira, because Midar Gzeira would be a Gzeira that she shouldn't marry anybody because he might end up marrying his sister. Again, Hafinami Lo Shchiach. in that case, why don't we argue by the same token, an Asufi should be allowed to marry whoever he wants, because the chance, the chalal of an Asufi is very low. Why does the Chachamim make a takana on such a rare thing? Ella, again, we can answer Maila also be Yuchsin. The Chachamim wanted to make better, higher standards when it comes to Yuchsin. We're going to limit who an Asufi can marry. We're not going to totally prevent him from marrying anybody at all. We'll still allow him to marry an Asufi.
Keep the rest of the top clean.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Okay, so now, Omar Rava Barabona. Now we're going to have a lot of conditions on what's considered Asufi. Now again, we said before in the previous discussion that sometimes Nebuch could happen that a couple can't afford to raise their child, the years of famine or whatever, and therefore they put him out in the street hoping somebody will take him in. So you have to consider then in that that such a child is not considered an Asufi. So what's the definition? How do we determine whether the child is an Asufi or not? Number one, nothing model. Look, I mean, you do what you have to do, right? If the child's going to starve at home and you don't have anything to feed him, then you put him out, so hopefully somebody will take him in and feed him and raise him.
And there are cases in history.
Yeah, there are many cases in history like that, yeah. The Muslim model, number one, if you find the child has a bris milah, ain't by Mishum Asufi, then you don't consider him an Asufi, because again, why would they have bothered making him a bris milah if he wasn't kosher? The assumption is basically that if he's an apostle, they won't have bothered doing anything for him. As soon as she had the baby, she'll right away, you know, you hear, unfortunately, in the news every so often, you hear of girls who throw their babies in dumpsters or whatever. It would be a similar idea, you know. If the child was apostle, they would just do that on the spot. The mother would just do that on the spot. She wouldn't bother arranging for a bris, she wouldn't, whatever. So if she did, then it shows the child was a kosher and just she was in desperate straits because of starvation. Another case, Mishalfi Hadami, if the child's limbs are straightened, now usually when a child is born, you know, usually in the pressure of giving birth, the limbs get a little dislocated or whatever, and therefore you have to straighten them. It's one of the first things you do to the baby is straighten out the limbs. So if you find that, again, ain't by Mishum Asufi, then it's not a problem about Asufi. Again, same thing. She wouldn't have bothered with that if he was a apostle.
If the legs are straight.
Yeah. Rashi gives another explanation of Mishalti Hadomi, which is based on a Gemara in Nida that says that during the last 3 months of a woman's pregnancy, Tashmish is good for the baby. It helps make the baby better develop, stronger, clearer skin. So therefore, Mishalti Hadomi, according to that, would mean if he has like that, then you can tell she was Mistama, she was married. Therefore, she took the trouble to, therefore, not took the trouble, but therefore she's with her husband all the time. They're able during the last 3 months to regularly do Tashmish. And therefore, you can see the child came out well developed.
Mashenkin,
the point is, it's not. Mashenkin, if not, it may have just been a one-night stand or something. She didn't have a chance to do Tashmish over and over during the last 3 months. So, yeah. Mordinim, Shayef Mishcho Molekul.
Wait a minute. So what's the point?
If the baby is well developed, according to math, if he's well developed such that you can tell that the mother had Tashmish in the last 3 months, then it means that the Mistamet came from a happily married couple.
Might have a normal developed kid loved after.
Okay, but that's what we're saying. I'm not saying normally developed. Mizura is a Maluba, is the expression actually. Mizura means like he's quick, he's active, he's lively, or Maluba and pale skin, like a sign of an aristocrat kind of. Mordin, Shayef Mishcho Molikufa, what if the child is smeared with oil, as they do in those days to keep the baby's skin soft, or Molikufa, also as sort of like a sunscreen, or Molikufa, or his eyes are painted around them with eye shadow, which again they used to do to make the child look nice. Again, and when Mishcho Molikufa, then again he's not an Asufi, same thing. Toli Piska, if there's a note hanging around his neck, and actually says not just a note, like in all the stories where they always use, you know, the note around the child's neck that says who he is, because here we're not talking about, we kind of don't know who the parents are, but the note actually says it's a kameya. You know, like you hear in all the old stories where they write a kameya, they write the names of Malachim, names of the Eidishter, whatever, as a protection for the baby. So if you find that around the baby's neck, again, then you can assume they're trying to protect his life, and therefore it's not an Asufi. Vitali Kamea, or so Piska is just a note, or Kamea, an actual Kamea in a case or whatever. And Kamea can also mean actually Piska means a note, which means a Kamea with writing. Kamea, when the Gemara says Vitali Kamea, means they also had Kameas in those days that contained like herbs, medicinal herbs or whatever. Same idea, it was meant to protect the child. So again, Ein Rebbe Shemasuki. Toli Bedikli, what if the child is, you see them hanging from a tree? So, it depends. Imakile chaya, if it's low enough that an animal, a wild animal, would be able to reach the child and eat it up, yesh b'mishum asufi, then that child is an asufi, because then the mother put him in a dangerous situation, obviously means she doesn't care for his life. Then you have a problem. He may be a mamzer or whatever. in love, but if he's high up, the animals can't reach him. Ain't bimishum astufi, then there's no issue of him being an astufi, because again, he's trying to. Birds aren't going to eat children.
They're raptors?
Fine, hey, you're going to find raptors near a city. Come on, we're not talking about in the middle of the desert.
There are hawks all over the place.
They don't eat live. They don't eat live babies. Come on. No. What?
Eagles.
Nets. No. Zrad to smichel masa. What if you What if you find the baby hanging on a zradta tree? It's a certain kind of tree. It's a crab apple tree or whatever. Now, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that a zradta tree near a city tends to be a hangout for shading. So therefore, it shows smichel masa near the city. Therefore, Yeshua Mishra Masrufi, near the city, and there's Shadim hanging out in there, then the child is an Asrufi, because it means, again, the mother didn't care about protecting him from Shadim, so therefore, yeah. Vim Lav, but if it's not close to the city, therefore, Shadim, don't hang out in there, ain't Bei Mishra Masrufi, then there's no issue.
With
a kid, I don't know what Shadim do, but whatever it is. It's interesting, the Rambam has a shitta throughout the Yad HaZaka.
Yeah,
the Rambam never takes, the Rambam always, all the dinim in the Gemara that have to do with Shadim, the Rambam always reinterprets them in another way. So here also, he explains that the Zrad, the tree with very thick branches, very very close set together branches. Therefore, it's not a difference whether it's close to the city or not. It's a question of, are they close enough, are the branches thickly enough intertwined that animals can't get in there to get the baby? And if not, then not. Next. Then he's not enough, Sophie, if the branches are really close together that he's protected from the animals. Yeah. Next. Beit Nishta Smichalama. So what if you find the baby in a shul near the city? Now, again, shuls used to be outside the city in those days. And we learned earlier on in the Masechta that sometimes when not many people would go there, then again, Shadim would use them as a hangout. But so if it's close to
the shul.
Yeah. Ushchichi Beiravim. So if there are always people there, ain't Bei Mishum Asrufi, then there's no issue Asrufi, because Shadim don't hang out there. Vim Lav, and if not, Yesh Bei Mishum Asrufi, because again, she put him in a dangerous situation. The basic idea is, did she put him in a dangerous position or not? Amar Amemer, Hai Peira De Sufli, if you find this baby in a pit in the ground where they put date pits. They put date pits. Animals used to eat them as animal food. So they used to have an peira means a hole in the ground, a pit. A pit in the ground. The sufli of date seeds, of date pits. The point is, they used to use the date pits for animal food. It was a very common thing in the cities.
Animals used to eat pits?
Yeah, I don't know. No, a pier in England.
It is a bone.
I don't know. But there was some kind of animals. There's some. I don't know. Yeah. A pier in English means more like something that supports a bridge or something, not a hole. Okay. I don't know. Anyway. The point is, it was a very common thing to have in cities. They'd have these big pits in the ground that they'd fill up with date pits, because everybody in Babel ate dates. They were very common food over there. And they'd leave them there for animal food. We learned in way back in Erevin, for example, we learned about in Mechuzah, they had huge pits like that that separated one part of the city from another. Okay, so anyway.
Separated one what?
One part of the city from another. Hmm. Okay, so anyway. So if you find the baby in such a pit, yes, Yesh Bei Mishum Asufi, then the baby is considered an Asufi. Because, again, those pits, okay, Rashi explains those pits in Mechuzah, they happen to be in the city. Yeah. Usually they were outside the city.
Okay.
A shack means like he's saying in English the word pera, the word pera that we have here in the Gemara maybe is similar to the English word pea. Could be. Okay. Doesn't matter. Okay, whatever. Fine. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says that these pits used to usually be outside the city. Again, it's outside the city in the middle of nowhere. Wild animals can easily get there. Therefore, he's an absolute. Next. Kashri, if you find the baby, let's say in a basket, in the middle of the river, in the swift current of the river.
Now,
the point, he wasn't in the swift current; he was on the side. But the point is, the current, Rashi says, is ships are always passing by. Therefore, ain't Bei Mishum Asufi. So he's not an Asufi, because obviously she put him there. Why did she bother schlepping out to the middle of the river? Obviously, so a passing boat will find him as soon as possible. On the other hand, Tashri, but if you find him like on the sides over there, where the ships don't come commonly, what? I don't know in Mitzrayim, but we're talking about the times of the Gemara. Tashri, but if you find the baby in the places where the river banks are shallow, and Rashi says where the only reason the river flows there in the first place is because when the snow melts and the river gets larger over there, then usually the ships don't go there because it's too shallow. Boats don't go there, it's too shallow. Therefore, Yeshbem Mishma Sufi, then it's an Asufi because she obviously didn't take the trouble to make sure he'd be found. Omar Rava, Rishus Arabim, if you find the baby on the side of the Rishus Arabim, so not in the middle of the street, but rather on the side, but sort of on the sidewalk, then the Ein Bei Mishum Asufi, then he's not an Asufi because she put him out of the way of traffic so he doesn't get trampled. Rishus Arabim, and if you find him in the middle of Rishus Arabim, Yesh Bei Mishum Asufi.
What if you put him in a doorstep of
Then he's not an Asufi, because then Omar Rava, Omar Rava, over Shnei Rava. Now, if this is taking place in a year of famine, Ein Bei Mishum Asufi, then it's not considered an Asufi. We have to ask, Chodah Rava Aheya, which of all these cases is Rava talking about? Ilema Rishus Arabim, are you talking about the case where you find the baby in Rishus Arabim? What, I.e. the Shnei Rava? No. We're assuming, the Gemara is assuming that Rava's statement, that the Rava's statement is referring to one of the last two cases. So either Sidir Rishus Arabim or Rishus Arabim. Now, can it be referring to Rishus Arabim? No. I'd be the Shnei Rabin couple. Like, fine, it's Shnei Rabin, it's years of hunger. Nevertheless, she's not going to kill him. She's not going to put him, the whole point is, she's not supposed to be putting him in a dangerous area where he can be trampled by horses and wagons and whatnot.
In Yerushalayim, they used to, the procedure of Yerushalayim was terrible famine. The children were, they used to eat their children.
We're talking about under more normal circumstances. We're not talking about that kind of famine. We're talking about under normal famine, you know, and the person doesn't have what to feed their family, so they may, you know, they'll farm out their kids. Yeah. The Elah Sidir Rishus Arabim, and you're going to argue that Rava is talking about the case of Sidir Rishus Arabim, Ma'ir is Shnei Rabin, and who cares whether it's a year of famine? I feel a belay Shnei Rabin. Even if it's not a year of famine, we said Sidir Rishus Arabim is a safe place, therefore the child is not an Asufi regardless, even if it's normal
and
time.
The size of
the Elah Ki Itma de Rava Aha. No, so we have to say that Rava's statement is not referring to any of these cases, rather it's referring to a different case. The Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Abba, Amr of Yehuda, Bazab, the Amr Rab. Cold man shabashuk, as long as this baby is still out in the street, of the imay neman and all of that, his father or his mother are believed on him. If they come before he gets picked up out of the street, if one of them, of course, I'm talking about it, one of them, both of them, whatever, if they come and say, this is our son, then we can believe him. However, but once the child was taken out, was brought out of the marketplace and brought into somebody's house, ain nemon and all of them, then we don't believe them about him. The Rama Parshim will say that ain nemon means we don't believe one or the other, that maybe we believe both of them. But they didn't talk about it. My time, and now what would be the reason? Amar Rava, hoyo v'yotol of shem asurfi. Because at that point, there's already a reputation that this child was an asurfi. Once he's been taken out of the shuk. So therefore, when the father or the mother come at that point and say, this is our child, that's not, you can't use that. You can't. Their ADOS is not strong enough to take away that
well,
chazaka.
If they're
that,
not
that
the real code. Parents, why would they say it?
Doesn't matter. The point is, at that point, we have a chazaka that this child is an Asufi, where you found him again. We're not talking about, for example, you found him in Rishus Arabim, or you found him by the side of the river, or you found him someplace where it's dangerous. The point is, if you found him someplace where it's dangerous, now after he's been taken into somebody's house, all of a sudden one of the parents comes and shows up and says, actually, this is our child, we can't believe him. So now, on that, the Omar Rava, over Shnei Rava, and however, if it's in a year of hunger, even if he was gathered in from a marketplace of the Imanem and all of them, you can believe them because, again, in Shnei Rabin, many people feel constrained to throw away their children. So, therefore, the Chacham didn't want to, under such circumstances, say just because of the curl that this child is an Asufi, to say that that's it. They're a Suffolk fossil for the rest of their lives. In Shnei Rabin, the Chacham didn't want to have to do that. I'm going to focus. There's three cases where the Chachamim believe somebody when what they say is on the spot. Not afterwards, but if they say it right afterwards, then they'll believe. Eloin, Asufi, Chaya, or Peteres Chavrisel. The three cases are the case of an Asufi, which we just discussed, the case of a Chaya, a midwife, and Peteres Chavrisel, a woman who's pastoring her friends, her colleagues, from being a Suffolk Nida.
What?
We'll talk about Asufi Hodamar. In the case of Asufi, we just talked about that when the parents come right away, as soon as the child has been picked up and he's still in the shuk, and they say this is our child, we can believe him. Whereas once he's been brought to the house and there's already a curl, then no. That's the Asufi. Chaya, where do we see the case that a Chaya, that a midwife is believed alter right away, but not afterwards? Namely, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Chaya ne'men eslaima zeya tradition zeya tasheni. A midwife is believed to say, if when a woman is giving birth and has twins, the midwife is believed to say, this one came out first and this one came out second. Now, when is this talking about? If she didn't go out of the room and then come back in. But if she went out and came back in, and then she said this one was born first and then not, then you don't.
They could have switched.
They could have switched it. Rabbi Eliezer says differently. He says if she has a chazaka that she was standing in her place, she was standing at her job, at her position, then you can believe. And if not, then not. My benai, you know, what's the practical difference? What does Rabbi Eliezer say different from the chachamim? It could be benai or the other apple. The difference would be, what if it's still in the room, but she turned around? According to the chachamim, that would be fine. She's still in the room. She's still at nemanah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, she's not al-homda. She's not still, she has to actually see. Yes. So that's what we're saying, that a chaya is believed la-alter, but not afterwards. If she comes back later and says this one first, this one second, then we don't believe her. But if she says la-alter right after the birth, while she's still there, nothing. We're just, these are three cases. These are three cases where we see that a person has an amonis, only la-alter, only on the spot, but not afterwards. Pateras chavresei amahi, what's the case of a woman pattering her friend? This is a Mishnah in Gittin, in Nidia, rather. If you have three women who are sleeping together in one bed, and Rashi explains, we're not just talking about a wide bed where one's here, one's here, one's here. We're talking about they're all close together. They're all like spooning together. In those days, it was a very common thing to do that, by the way. I mean, they didn't always have heating in the houses. People would curl up together in bed for warmth. Then you find later on, you find blood stain under one of them. So one of them became nida. Which one? Kul and Tmeir. All of them you have to consider are Tomei Misafik, because you never know. Especially they're so close together, they could have moved. But they can move around a little bit. Yeah, and the blood stain right now happens to be under one, which it might have before been under the other.
The one who's having the period. No.
We don't know which one. None of them, when they went to bed, none of them knew at that point they're having.
But
the
after they got up, they know which one. Wait.
Bodka achas, man. Now, if one of them does a bdika, v'nimtitmeya, and she finds that she's tamei, she finds that she's having her period, hitmeya b'cholat haharis. That's what we mean. Pateras chavresel, that by her doing the bdika right away, makes it that she's the nida and the other ones are not. Omer of chista. Now, that means shabodka achas kashir vest. That only works if she checks herself right away. Shir vest, Rashi says, basically means like the time it takes, like as if you have the aid, as if you have the bedikah cloth right there in your, you have it like right there next to you. All you have to do is just do the wipe.
And if it's 10 minutes later,
no good, because it could have happened. It could, remember that, you know,
one could have happened, and the other one got
the third. Yeah. It could have happened that one of them had one episode of bleeding, and that's it. She doesn't find anything. Yeah. That's what we're saying, that only la'alter doesn't work. Okay.
If she stands up to turn on the light and comes back.
That's too long, I guess, based on what we're saying. She arrested, it has to be like right away. Right. In this connection, we're talking about the nemonos of a midwife. Nemenes chot chaya loimer zekoyed v'zelevi zenosim zemamzer. We believe a midwife to say that this is a koyed, this is a levi, etc. Rashi says the scenario we're talking about is, let's say you have a bunch of women all giving birth together in one house. Afterwards, you have the babies. Whose baby is whose? You can believe the midwife to say which one is whose. There are other Rishonim who say you don't need that.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what we're saying, but wait. There are other Rishonim who learn that actually the case doesn't even have to be you have many different women. You could have a case of where one woman is giving birth. We don't know where one woman is giving birth, but we believe the midwife to say when she saw the birth, but yes. When is this talking about? Shall I call her Allah Shem Arar? If there hasn't been any objection to her. Meaning, so Rashi says the objection is not really to her, but rather to the child. If you have, for example, if people are giving out a koil and saying, no, this child is not, let's say, a koyin or a levi or what have you. He's the son of the wife of a mamzer. His father is a mamzer. If there's such an error, ain't an amenis, then you don't believe the midwife against such a koil.
Well, how would the midwife know
who the father is? I don't know. The mother told her.
The mother would know.
Okay, but the midwife also knows in this case. Okay. Well, maybe that's tacos. Okay. okay, maybe that's Taka Y. Rashi says that the preferred explanation over here is that you have all these women. According to Rashi's explanation, again, you know previously that this mother, that this one woman is the wife of a queen, you know this other one is the wife of a lady, etc. So the midwife can be believed to say which baby is which mother's. Yeah. So only if there's not an arrow.
Well, it doesn't have to be the wife of a queen or not. A lady. Then you say this baby belongs to this lady and this baby belongs to that lady.
Okay. Well, which amounts the same? Is a queen or a lady? So again, only if there's not an error, only if there's no urim, only if there's no objection, people who are saying, no, this baby is actually, for example, the wife. Because, let's say they're saying that this is actually the son of the wife of a mamzer, in which case he inherits his father's status as a mamzer.
Then we don't believe the midwife.
So we have to error.
What happens if the midwife says, if she says it's a mamzer, then we believe her.
Yeah. So we have to ask, Ara Demai, what kind of error are we talking about? Ilem Ara Chad, are we talking about that there's one aid saying that this child is the son of a mamzer? What, so what? Well, that's not a problem. Well, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ain't Ara Pachas Mishayim. We find Rabbi Yochanan says, we learned about it in Ksulis, that an error, by definition, has to require two aiding. El Ara Trey. So necessarily we have to say it's talking about where there's two aiding. If there's two aiding testifying that this child is the son of a mamzer, then we don't believe her, right?
Why we do?
Yes. The Iboi thing, or another possibility, you could even argue that in this case, maybe an error of one aid is enough to destroy the midwife's name on us. The difference is, because when does Rabbi Yochanan say that an error requires two? Where somebody previously has a cheskas kasherus, and then all of a sudden an error comes up and says he's not a kasher, he's a mamzer, or what have you, then you need two aids. But in this case, we don't know yet if the child is kosher b'chalal. He doesn't have any chazakah of his own yet because he's only just born. Therefore, we could be arguing that the b'raisa would be saying that even one aid is enough to go against the midwife. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that usually an iru requires two. But we're saying Rabbi Yochanan might make an exception in this case where the child himself has no chazakah yet because he's only just born.
Then one
might be enough.
Everybody does something like that?
Well, that's what we're saying. Two possibilities. The Iboi same. But the halacha is like that Iboi same. Yes, if you have one aid against the midwife, then you believe that aid.